We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on X at Andy Herman NFL. I'm joined once again by the one and only Paul Brettle. You can follow him on X at @Paul_Brettle. Of course, you can follow his work on his amazing YouTube channel, also over on the Packers Wire. Paul, it's been a hot second since we've had the opportunity to talk. Since then, just a few things have happened that we'll go over today. But in the meantime, how the heck have you been?
I've been excellent, Andy. I'm really excited to be back here with you talking Packers. And like you said, where do we even begin with everything that transpired this week? This isn't the Ted Thompson days of free agency. There's a lot that went down.
It really is not. This was like Ted Thompson's like 10 years of free agency all rolled into like a day. But yeah, it was definitely crazy. For those listening, this is likely going to air on Wednesday. Paul and I are recording on Saturday. For those of you who know, I'm going to be having surgery. So just trying to get some episodes in advance. So if you are listening in the future and the Packers have traded for an amazing player, and well, first of all, congratulations to future us, because that's amazing. Yes. But Paul and I don't know about it yet. So we're going to talk about what happened last week in free agency and kind of go over everything. And Paul, the place where I actually want to start is with Xavier McKinney, because as weird and as crazy as it sounds, in a week where the Packers signed Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones was released and David Bakhtiari was released, AJ Dillon is back, and there's a million other things to talk about, the Packers signing one of the best free agents on the market, period, almost went under the radar, which would have been unfathomable going into the week. I think if you would have told me last week that the Packers signed Xavier McKinney, I would have said we probably spent the great majority of the week talking just about Xavier McKinney, but that was not the case. You wrote a great article on sort of the perfect fit that Xavier McKinney is in this Jeff Hafley defense and with the Packers. So I want to start there. I want to give him the time that he deserves. Your thoughts on the signing of Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I dive into that article specifically, I was in the locker room on Friday when McKinney and Josh Jacobs were, had their introductory press conference with us. And just a couple of the words that I wrote down, that I felt described McKinney and kind of the vibe that he gave off. One was perfectionist. This is someone who is continually striving to be the best version of himself. And we know how Jeff Hafley described the perfect safety and what that looks like to him. And I'll get into that in a second. And while McKinney said, there is no perfect football player, that doesn't mean I'm not striving to be that every single day. And even when he was asked about his tackling ability, I believe last season he made 115 of his 122 attempts, a missed rate of 5.7%, the lowest at the position. He talked about how he takes it just goes 100% in practice each day, focuses on the little things. And then when you take that approach consistently, you see the results on the field. But then at the end, he added, I'm looking to have fewer than seven missed tackles this upcoming season. So just this perfectionist mindset, which to a degree attributed to his time at Alabama with Nick Saban. I mean, you could tell that how much Saban had meant to him in his development and where he is today from, again, that perfectionist mindset, the discipline, what it takes to be a pro, never being complacent. So that was kind of the really big thing in terms of who he is as a person that stood out to me. Also, he just loves the game of football. You know, both him and Josh Jacobs talked about how there's this college feel to the city of Green Bay, to the Packers organization, where it's just football all the time, every single day. And they were both really excited about that. So those were kind of the two things about McKinney that jumped out to me initially. But in terms of his fit in this defense, you know, I've tweeted out Halfley's quote of what the perfect safety to him is. And I jotted down a couple of the key things that stand out in there. One, eliminating big plays. We know that's important at the safety position. Last season, Xavier McKinney allowed just 8.7 yards per catch. Jeff Halfley said, I want someone playing with their hair on fire against the run. McKinney last season had the sixth most run defense tackles at the safety position. I already mentioned his tackling ability, lowest missed tackle rate at safety. High ball production was another one. McKinney has 9 interceptions in his career, has 7 pass breakups over the last 2 seasons. And then, of course, the communication aspect. We don't know how important that is. Ryan Downard, the defensive backs coach, when he's speaking to us throughout the season, that's where a lot of those conversations about the safety position goes back to, that pre-snap communication, getting everyone on the same page, knowing what their responsibilities are, so there aren't those coverage breakdowns. And go back and watch Xavier McKinney. You see him before the snap, vocal, directing traffic within that Giants defense. So again, he was first to admit there is no perfect player, but on the surface, going through each of those kind of key traits that Halfley mentioned that he looks for in the position, you can say that McKinney checks those boxes. And last thing I'll add is, while that post safety, that deep safety might be where we see McKinney playing the most, it's probably where he can provide the most value to this defense. He can line up anywhere. You know, that tackling ability, that willingness to help out in the run game, he can play in the box. He has the ability. He has coverage abilities where he can line up in the slot. And when asked on Friday, you know, where's your favorite position to play? He goes, whatever the game plan calls for, wherever I can make the biggest impact, be in the middle of it, help my teammates out the most, that's where I want to be. So we're going to see McKinney bounced around. But again, that deep safety is where he's going to be able to provide the most value for this Packers team.
I have so many thoughts on all of that. But before I get there and kind of follow up on some of the things that you're saying, I do want to ask you, because we nerd out about all of this stuff. The contract is a pretty significant contract. Mm-hmm. Obviously, 4 years, $67 million. It's a top price safety deal, understandably so. Your thoughts on that contract? Was it too much? Did it give you any cause for concern? Or did you feel like you were pretty comfortable based on the player that Green Bay was getting?
I was comfortable with it, you know, obviously for the safety position. And there were even some reports from The Athletic before free agency began that the safety market might have been a little bit depressed, was the word that was used, you know, kind of around the NFL. And we're seeing that a little bit to a degree, kind of once, you know, these last few days of free agency, there are some lower safety contracts being handed out. But again, for what McKinney brings to the table, everything that I just mentioned, his age, his I think the person that he is, the leadership role that he can take on to this Packers team, not to mention just the massive void that was at that position before free agency. Like, if that's the going rate to get that player of that caliber, which it obviously was, you know, there's other teams who are offering contracts for him. Brian Gutekunst, you know, not going to be one to necessarily just willingly overpay for anyone. So because of Goody's track record in that regard too, I think that's one of those things where you give him the benefit of the doubt, because it's not like he's every offseason he's spending everything that he can. So when he does it, at least for me, I go, this was the right guy. This is the person that they know that they needed. And we just went through a bunch of reasons why. So for me, I don't really bat much of an eye at it. And especially with the opportunity that's in front of them as a team and what their expectations are for this upcoming season, I had no problem with it.
To me, Xavier McKinney was not the best free agent on the market. He was the best free agent market on the market for the Packers, though. Like, I don't know that there's a single player in free agency that I would have rather had. If anything, he's at least in the discussion than him in that spot in this defense. And make money, you got to spend money. And in my opinion, this was the right player at the right time for the right reasons in the right spot with the right defensive coordinator. It just is this perfect fit. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Jeff Hafley's job description for that safety position and matching that to exactly what Xavier McKinney is. You want to start your defensive coordinator on the right foot, give him a player that is going to completely help him run the defense that he wants to run in the right way. You talk about a leader, you talk about a team captain, locker room guy, somebody that you have zero fear that you're going to give $17 million a year to, and he's just going to check out and be like, all right, got my paycheck, I'm good to go. Don't see that out of Xavier McKinney at all.
Nope.
I have less than zero concern about giving him that contract. I was asked prior to the start of free agency, all right, well, if you could have Xavier McKinney, or if you could have two of the top safeties, whether it was Geno Stone and Justin Simmons or Julian Blackman and Jordan Fuller, he's like, what would you rather have? And I said, give me Xavier McKinney every single day of the week. This is a game that is made up of big time players and playmakers. Yes. You can find good players. In fact, Brian Gutekunst is very good at finding good players in a variety of different ways. Signing guys off a practice squad, bargain bin free agent signings, drafting guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh round that can come out and help you compete and be solid players every week. But you need playmakers and you need great players. And in my opinion, you go out, you get a playmaker, you get a great player. And that's exactly what the back end of this defense is. I love, beyond love the fit. And I'm so excited to watch him play in this defense.
One of the words I wrote down to describe him was force multiplier because of that versatility, the traits, the leadership. You know, obviously there's the impact he'll make, but the impact everyone around him is going to be able to make elevated because he's on the field, because of the roles and responsibilities he can take on. Like you said, this is someone who's going to enhance that entire secondary just from his presence.
I'm so glad you brought up his versatility as well, because we sort of get, and I say we, not you and I, like we, everyone get sort of this tunnel vision of, we hear that Jeff Hafley's going to run a cover one defense, and immediately we start thinking, oh, there's going to be a ton of man-to-man and a single high and a box safety. And of course there's going to be, like, that's probably going to be some of their identity. And we're going to see that, but we're going to see a lot of cover two. We're going to see a lot of cover three. We're going to see a lot of cover four. We're going to see a lot of zone, a lot of man, a lot of match. We're going to see all of it in this defense. And it's so important that with somebody like McKinney, exactly as he said it, and we heard Jeff Hafley, the bigger thing that I took away from Jeff Hafley from his press conference wasn't, oh, they're going to play a bunch of single high man. It was, oh, they're going to put their players in the best position to succeed. They're going to have a game plan to take away whatever the opposite team does well. And they're going to make sure that their players are in positions to succeed, not only based on what they do well, but trying to take away what the other team wants to do. And it's great that if you want to have, you know, single high man coverage as your base, or like what you kind of is your go-to, your core concept. But we know that he's going to be versatile in everything that he does, and it's going to be game plan dependent. And bringing in this player who can be used in a variety of different ways, in a variety of different defenses and coverages. Again, you mentioned force multiplier. That's going to make it so much easier for Jeff Hafley to fit all the other pieces around him when you have that one really great player that you can do so many different things with.
Obviously, all of us have spent a lot of time this offseason talking about the Packers transition from the 3-4 to the 4-3 defense. But Matt LaFleur came out point blank before the Hafley interview and said, like, I didn't set out to say, all right, we got to be a 4-3 defense. I had to find the right guy. And it just so happened that Jeff Hafley runs a 4-3 defense. And by finding the right guy, in part, it's the mindset approach to it. Like, you could tell between LaFleur's comments, Gutekunst's comments, like, they're trying to bring some energy to that side of the football. Because LaFleur said it, like, that starts with the coaching staff and then feeds on down to the players. So you can't expect the players to be rah-rah high energy when the coaching staff isn't doing the same thing. So finding the right person in that regard. And then, like you just mentioned, Hafley's willingness to adjust week to week, quarter to quarter, based on who they're playing. Those were the big boxes that LaFleur wanted to check. And again, just so happens that he runs a 4-3, you know. He utilizes a lot of cover one, but it's those other aspects that were, I think, were a key driver in LaFleur's decision.
I very much think so as well. Obviously, McKinney, not the only free agent that Green Bay dipped into. They go and get Josh Jacobs as well. And probably what was the biggest swing of shocks and surprises throughout the course of the week, where think we sort of had this feeling, Aaron Jones back, AJ Dillon gone, maybe sign a veteran running back, or maybe more likely go through the draft and find some players there. Instead, it's the exact opposite. And Aaron Jones is gone. He's a Minnesota Viking. AJ Dillon is back on a very favorable contract. And Josh Jacobs, out of nowhere, is a member of the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, everyone's discussed a lot of these talking points through the course of this past week plus, but I do want to get your thoughts on the revolving musical chairs, the shocking departure of Aaron Jones, the shocking incoming Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon back as well. I'll let you go in any direction that you want and take it any way that you want. It's finally here. March Madness, one of the most exciting sports weeks of the year, and it's about to be made even better by combining it with the excitement of Prize Picks. Testing my skills on Prize Picks over the past year has been my favorite way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few quick taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and the best part is that you can make your entries in under 60 seconds. Prize Picks has quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types, and that's what makes Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. March Madness is always fun. A ton of epic moments, buzzer beaters, and unparalleled drama. But this year, it's going to be even more epic than ever while using Prize Picks to bring that excitement to an entirely new level. This past week, I used Prize Picks to make selections on Victor Wembanyama, Lionel Messi, Connor Bedard, and the Badgers' Tyler Wahl. There are so many options to choose from that you'll never run out of new ways to use Prize Picks. And the absolute best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Just download the app and use code PACKADAY and receive a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Eating healthy can be a challenge. If you're anything like me, I'm trying to make 2024 my best year ever. I'm trying to eat right, maintain a high level of energy, and make the right choices for my own personal health. But as much as I want to make the right choices, running to the butcher or the high-end grocery stores every single day to get a fresh quality cut of meat just isn't feasible. Thankfully, that's where Good Chop comes in, and it has completely changed my life. I'm so thankful that I found Good Chop because now I can get 100% grass-fed meat like ribeyes, filet mignon, organic chicken breasts, pork tenderloin, and so much more delivered directly to my door. Last night, cooked up organic chicken breasts, made my famous chicken curry. Yes, that is a true story. It is to die for. You would love to try it. And the chicken was incredible. Fresh, tender, unbelievable flavor. The best part was that I didn't even have to go to the store to get it. And Good Chop's price per meal starts at just $3.74, and their boxes are fully customizable with delivery to your door on your schedule. So go to goodchop.com/packaday120 and use code packaday120 to get $120 off across your first four boxes. That's code packaday120 at goodchop.com/packaday120 for $120 off. goodchop.com/packaday120 using code packaday120. What are you waiting for?
Yeah, so anyone, feel free to go to Packers Wire, read some of my articles before these moves happened about the running back position. There's a lot of certainty in there about Aaron Jones is the guy. They got to find the second option. And, you know, the last two off seasons now, I've done my resign, let go prediction articles for their free agents or some of the bigger, you know, maybe they could be release candidates. And I have a pretty good track record in that regard. I think I'm on pace to be like 24 for 27 in terms of my predictions. Never saw this one coming. I really did not expect the Packers to move on from Aaron Jones. And taking the emotion out of it, the, you know, who Aaron Jones is as a person, what he means to the organization, obviously what he can bring to this Packers team when fully healthy, as we saw during those final five games. If we look at it from just a pure football perspective, you can see why the decision was made on the Packers' part. And obviously there was some negotiating that went back and forth where the two sides couldn't meet, but you're bringing in Josh Jacobs, who's 3 years younger than Aaron Jones. You're bringing in someone who's been far more durable throughout his career, just in terms of being on the field. Like with Josh Jacobs, you know, this can be a 20 carry a week guy, and you don't tip, you know, you don't have to blink. You don't really have to think about it. Now, the Packers might take a little bit different approach with them than what the Raiders did. That's what I would expect. But if it's a game where it goes, we got to run the ball, Josh Jacobs is going to be able to get that. And he's coming off a down season. And I know you've broken this down, that Raiders offensive line didn't do him any favors. Friday in the locker room, Josh Jacobs was talking about that. And he said the offense was just struggling to find their identity. There was uncertainty at the quarterback position. We all knew that they went through the changes with the at head coach. And that was a Raiders offense, Josh Jacobs, that was going up against a lot of heavy boxes. You know, you could tell he got a little excited on Friday when he was talking about this Packers offense, because obviously there's Jordan Love, his ability, the other skill position players. Like, he's going to be facing a lot fewer loaded boxes here in Green Bay than what he did against the Raiders. So, but last season compared to the rest of his career, and I know it's the most recent one, but last season is the outlier in terms of what we've seen from him from a production standpoint. And he brings that physicality to the position. You know, he's not AJ Dillon size, but he's 5'10", 5'11", 220, 225 pounds, brings a physical presence to the running back position. And Brian Gutekunst said at the combine, having that element, you know, his words were a bigger back, and they have AJ Dillon for now. You know, that was important for them to have on the team. And Josh Jacobs brings that, but he can make defenders miss. That all-pro season, he led the NFL in missed tackles, ranked 11th in average yards after contact force. Like, this is someone who's going to make defenders miss. He's going to be physical. He's going to be durable. And he's really, really good in the passing game. I think from a passing game perspective, this is an upgrade for the Packers in terms of just natural receiving abilities that Josh Jacobs brings to the table. He has 249 career targets, at least 50 in each of the last three seasons. And he said this past Friday when speaking with us that in one of his first conversations with Matt LaFleur, he said, I want to be more involved in the passing game. So there's a higher ceiling for him in terms of opportunities in that facet of the game. And we all know how important the running back role is, obviously, within this offense. But being able to be effective in the passing game, to be able to move around the formation, that's going to be one thing that's going to be a little bit different for him. Like I said, I think he's a more natural pass catcher. But in terms of opportunities lined up in the slot or even lined up out wide, he hasn't had the same opportunities as Aaron Jones has in Green Bay. And of course, that doesn't mean he can't do it. Just means the opportunity hasn't been there for him. Another thing is we all know how Aaron Jones is able to hold up in pass protection. It's going to be another area for Josh Jacobs that he'll have to show as well. But again, the pure football side of things, you can see why the Packers ultimately felt that they had to go this direction.
I agree. And, you know, you brought up he's going to see a lot less or a lot fewer 8-man boxes. Or if he does see a lot more 8-man boxes, yeah. Well, then you're not super mad about that either, because no. That's going to open up a lot for Jordan Love and those playmakers on the second level. And you are more than fine with that. And I think that's the double-edged sword that defenses are going to have to decide. And not that dissimilar to what they were having to decide with Aaron Jones at the end of last year. And again, the decision here is, we saw how dynamic and dominant this offense was when Aaron Jones was running the way that he was at the end of this year. What Goody is betting is, hey, if we have this guy that can do a lot of the same things and be that dynamic guy, but we think we're going to get that for 17 plus games, that's going to be a lot better. And it's going to be really hard for defenses to stop us all year long. I understand the vision behind it. Clearly, that locker room aspect is going to be important as well, because he was such a huge leader in the locker room. Now, the good news is Josh Jacobs, team captain, like that, there's no real concern about character or anything like that. He's going to come in and be able to be a leader too. But that is always a question mark when you do move on from a player like that, is how does the rest of the locker room respond? But these are professionals. I think they're going to be just fine. Obviously, they get in Josh Jacobs, which I'm sure a lot of people are going to be very excited about as well. And then the other thing I wanted to touch base on here is the return of AJ Dillon, because that ends up being a surprise. My view on it is the contract was basically just too good to refuse. You see how things go. You see what type of players you acquire, but I don't really see much of a downside here.
Yeah, I don't at all either. I think you're spot on. It elevates the competition, you know, after Josh Jacobs on the depth chart for training camp. I know many are excited about Emmanuel Wilson, as we should be, in the small sample size that we saw. We saw that some juice, some burst that he brings to the running back position. But again, really, really small sample size. Transitioning from a D2 school to the NFL, those other aspects of the running back position, the pass blocking, the pass catching, Matt LaFleur has been point blank about that when speaking about Wilson, even into the season. Like, those are areas he has to improve upon. So he was never going to be given that second running back role. So AJ Dillon brings in experience, someone who has proven those pass catching, those pass blocking responsibilities, that he's very capable in those areas. And bringing Dillon back, like you said, because the contract from a cap perspective and in general is so small and really non-consequential from the Packers' perspective. Like, this doesn't change anything for them and how they operate this offseason. Like, if Gutekunst was looking for a running back in the second round before this move, he's still looking for a running back in the second round after this move. Like, none of that changes. You just bolster the competition. If he proves that, you know, he's deserving of one of those 53-man roster spots, you got someone on your team who's going to be a contributor, who's taking up minimal cap space. If he doesn't, you find someone else who steps up, you move on from him. There's really no salary cap impact from it either. So I agree with you. It's, I think all of us, maybe there was a little bit of, whoa, AJ Dillon's back. But once you see the details kind of piece together what the roster looks like, the opportunity that's still out there at the running back position, it's a move that makes a ton of sense. And I just want to bounce back to Josh Jacobs real quick.
Yeah.
Like with McKinney, I wrote down a few words that I felt described him from our time. And I wrote down charismatic, funny, and again, loves football. And McKinney gives off that charismatic vibe too, more so in an easygoing, very relatable sense. Josh Jacobs was funny, was generating a few laughs throughout his 15 minutes with us. And to your point about him being a team captain, he had just what I thought was an absolutely terrific quote when asked about Aaron Jones. He goes, look, I'm not here to replace Aaron Jones. Everything he did for this team, this organization, the city, I'm not here to replace him. I'm here to uphold the standard that he set at the running back position for the Green Bay Packers, and I'm going to do it in my own way. I thought that was just a tremendous response to what could be a difficult question to answer. And going back to Brian Gutekunst in who he wants to bring in, I think this was at the combine where he was talking about it, might have been one-on-one with Larry McCarron, but talked about bringing in the right people. And, you know, we talked about on the defensive side of the ball, the mindset component of it, some aggressiveness, but the right person in that locker room too, to help, you know, foster the relationships that we heard about on the offensive side of the ball last year in particular, played such a key role into the strong bond that's been formed. And both Jacobs and McKinney are those type of players that are going to 100% enhance your locker room vibes that you have going on.
Totally agree. To ping pong back to Dylan for just a second too, I always find it somewhat, I don't know if humorous is the right word, but just interesting is probably the better word, where the fan base always loves to jump on a player when they're not available. Like a Christian Watson, of course, is like sort of the poster child for this right now. Eric Stokes, obviously, and they will kind of drag a player. AJ Dillon's missed two games in the last 3 years combined. And if we're going to drag people for being unavailable, then we do have to give some credit to players who are available. And AJ Dillon, and we can use the cliche, the number one ability with blah, 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 is, you know, AJ Dillon has been very available and very sturdy. And when you have that size and that bulk, it's less likely that you do get hurt. And again, we'll see what they ultimately do at running back. In my opinion, it's not a guarantee of a roster spot going into the season, dependent upon what the guarantees are there. But to get a guy that's very reliable, very durable, it's a good pass protector, catches the ball out of the backfield, and in 2021 had a really good season, totally understand the deal. And it just gives Goody more options as he goes through this offseason, which is always what you want as a general manager. Overall, understand the vision. Heartbreaking, of course, to see Aaron Jones in purple and yellow in a purple sombrero and doing the skull and everything else. That's going to take some time, no question about it. But I always want to understand the vision. I can see the vision. I understand it. I appreciate it. And I'm excited to see Josh Jacobs as a member of the Green Bay Packers. As we sit here recording this again on a Saturday, Green Bay filled two big spots, getting Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. But in a way, with bringing in Josh Jacobs and moving on from Aaron Jones, you kind of stay one for one at that specific position. You do get Dylan back. You re-sign Keyshawn Nixon, some other players back. But really the only spot that you sort of filled as you looked at it pre-free agency was that safety spot, the one safety spot, which is a really important one, and you filled it with an amazing player. But the depth at safety and really that other starting safety spot is still TBD. You still probably need some, or what, at least like maybe some competition at corner still. Off-ball linebacker is still pretty barren, even though Christian Welch is back. You're still looking at right now Isaiah McDuffie and Quay Walker is kind of your only two that you can count on in any capacity. Offensive line depth is a pretty significant concern, in my opinion, where right now it's Royce Newman, Caleb Jones, and Luke Tenuta as really your only, I don't even know if I can say like experienced backups. I guess Newman is to some extent, but I don't know that that's giving people a ton of confidence either. There are still some question marks on this team. So The great news is that they don't play another game until September. They have a couple minutes here before they have to put a final 53 together. But as we sit here today, what gives you the biggest, you know, just sort of anxiousness or concern at this moment?
It's the offensive line. And, you know, as currently constructed, like, it's entirely possible that their starting five week one is already on the roster. And from what we saw last season, that should be a capable starting five. But go back to when things started, the tide started to turn last year, week nine against the Rams, for this offense as a whole, for the play of the offensive line. It was competition. Matt LaFleur, Adam Stenovich, Luke Butkus, throughout the remainder of the season, you ask them about the improved offensive line play. The first, or at worst, second thing they were going to mention is the competition. The rotation between John Runyon and Sean Ryan at right guard, Yash Nyman and Rasheed Walker at left tackle. And they all said it didn't just enhance those positions, but it enhanced the entire play of the offensive line. And yes, all eyes are on Jordan Love, these pass catchers that the Packers have, understandably so. But the ceiling of this offense and what it can be is going to be determined by the play up front. You know, the ability to run the ball during those final five games just opened up so much for Jordan Love for this passing game. So many opportunities in the passing game off of play action. You know, the defensive front, when you're in those short down and distance situations, they can't pin their ears back. They got to play both the run and the pass. I remember talking to Elton Jenkins about that. It was after the Kansas City game where the Packers relied on A.J. Dillon pretty heavily in that one. And he just talked about there's a split second of hesitation when you're in short down and distance, when they have to identify, is this play action? Is this a run? Is this a pass? And that gives the offensive line the advantage. From the secondary standpoint, when they're not in the, or when they're facing an offense that's in second and long, third and long, they have the advantage from a coverage standpoint. So all of that starts with the play up front, being able to generate yards on the ground, being able to, of course, give Jordan Love time in the pocket, the receivers that additional half second to get open is a world of difference in the NFL. So like I said, this offense is going to be good in 2024. We know that. But what their ceiling is going to be determined by how well the offensive line plays, in my opinion. And right now, like I just said, all of that turnaround and play last season started with competition. There isn't any competition right now. Yes, you hope. It's been 2 years of Luke Tenuta, Caleb Jones taking the Yash Nyman route of developing for 2 years, and it was in year three actually where Nyman started to see some playing time when some injuries happen. But that's a complete unknown. There's no chance you're going to go into the summer banking on one of them to push in Rasheed Walker for starting snaps. The right guard position, it's Sean Ryan and Royce Newman. Like, that's it along the interior competing for those snaps. And while Ryan did continue to show some progression over the second half of the season, like, Adam Stenovich made no bones about it. He said he has to get better in pass protection if he's going to be a consistent starter in the NFL. So while perhaps Ryan Walker are the favorites entering training camp to be the week one starters, I don't believe either of them are just going to be handed that job. They're going to have to earn it this summer. And then we could even look at the center position, you know, pushing Josh Myers. There isn't a backup center on the roster at this point. Again, just to even be the backup, but with how important competition was, they're going to want to bring in some form of competition for Josh Myers. Again, even if he might end up being the favorite to start week one. So the depth along that offensive line for me is the biggest need. And when you look at those, some of those other positions that you mentioned, you know, you have Xavier McKinney, obviously you have Quay Walker at linebacker, Isaiah McDuffie, you know, proven to be capable when needed to be relied upon. But for me, in terms of positional importance right now, it's the offensive line, because that's where everything starts, not just for the Packers, but for every NFL offense.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You talked about the ceiling for the offense and how it gets a lot better if that offensive line has the competition and the depth and can play really well. I look at it that way, but I almost look at it the opposite way too, of the floor for this offense changes entirely. And I've joked around in the past, we've seen even Aaron Rodgers at the height of his powers. You put a Byron Bell in, you put an Alex Light in, you put a Don Barclay in, you put a Kyle Murphy in, you put a Jason Spriggs in. If everyone hasn't regurgitated in their mouth by now, I don't know what else I need to do. Like, you put some of those guys in and it just changes everything. And you go from a quarterback who is keeping his eyes up and going through his progressions and playing within the flow of the offense to a quarterback who's constantly seeing ghosts and panicking and watching the line because he doesn't think that guy is going to protect. Or instead of Tucker Kraft getting out in his route, he's got to stay in because he's got to chip that defensive end because his left tackle or whoever it might be might not do the job. Or Josh Jacobs has to stay in and chip because they think that somebody's going to get through right away. It just changes the offense entirely. And like you said, the ceiling comes down and the floor gets much lower, in my opinion, in those situations. It is 1A on my list. Well said on your end. I don't really have anything else to add to it, but clearly to me, this is going to be a position they're going to have to be ultra aggressive with in the draft. The great news is they've done a great job through like the history of time at finding offensive linemen in the draft that can come in and compete almost immediately, but they're almost going to need to, because it's a pretty shoddy depth group right now that you don't have a ton of confidence in. And we'll see where that goes, but that is definitely 1A on my list as well.
Yeah. And to add on to that, I mean, this draft class is just absolutely loaded along the offensive line. I think it was Peter Schrager who said something along the lines of maybe 12 just offensive linemen taken in the first round. Daniel Jeremiah on his top 50 big board has 7 offensive tackles in the top 22. Like, even picking at pick 25, the Packers are going to, there's going to be some options, interior or at tackle, available to them to boost the depth, to, you know, not just provide competition, but find someone who could be an upgrade as well.
I think offensive line would be very clearly my betting favorite right now. If you told me what position the Packers took in the first round, I do think corner is a possibility. I think they could go off ball linebacker if they really wanted to maybe get their guy. And they could probably get the best off ball linebacker, whoever they view that to be, at that spot, maybe even move down a few picks. But I think my overwhelming leader in the clubhouse right now, if you told me what position they picked in the first round, I'd very much go offensive line. I did want to talk a little bit about Keyshawn Nixon. Interesting deal for him. Gets 3 years. We haven't seen the full breakdown. At least I was trying to look it up. I don't think we've seen the full details quite yet. But it looks like a pretty significant 3-year deal for Keyshawn Nixon. They obviously prioritized him. This tells me that they view him very likely as the starting slot corner. Your thoughts on his return?
Yeah, so in that series I was referencing earlier, I did think he was going to come back. Contract they received was more than I was anticipating, but I'll start with why I thought he was going to come back. To me, this is just a very high floor re-signing for the Packers, because you go into training camp with someone who at least has experience and can be your slot cornerback, because they don't have that guy right now before him. You know, Stokes, Valentine, Jair, those are all boundary cornerbacks. And so that guy wasn't on the roster. So at a minimum, you have someone who has experience, has proven to be capable in that capacity. Was able to make an impact as a blitzer as well, more often in the playoffs, you know, towards the end of the season in that role. So you have someone who elevates the floor for your slot cornerback position. If in the draft or someone emerges along the way to take that role, and Nixon is a backup. Again, that's a quality backup to have at an important position. But then you still have the return aspect that he brings as well as a kick returner. I could see him being the primary punt returner this season as well, with Jaden Reed taking on, you know, or being heavily involved within the offense for the entire season. I wouldn't be surprised if Nixon goes back to handling those responsibilities as well. So in terms of just the impact that he provides, you know, at a minimum, he's going to do that on special teams and then has the potential to do so on defense as well. And at least going into the draft, it gives Gutekunst some options. And that's what every general manager wants. They want options. You know, if they don't resign Keyshawn Nixon and they go into the draft, like, that becomes all of a sudden, like, we got to find someone versus, all right, let's just see how it plays out. When we'll attack that position, who's available, what the options are. So just a lot more flexibility by having Keyshawn Nixon back. So for those reasons is why I thought he was going to return this season. As far as his contract, like I said, it was more than what I anticipated. And I don't know if I'm just completely off base with this, but here's how I am breaking down kind of that $6 million-ish per year. If he was just a slot cornerback and they resigned him for $3 million a year, to potentially compete for a starting spot or be the backup, I think everyone would be like, all right, that's reasonable. Yep. If he was just a return man, two-time All-Pro, and they re-signed him for $3 million a year, maybe a little on the pricey side, but two-time All-Pro,
yeah,
that's reasonable. So $3 million, $3 million for someone who can fill a couple of roles, you get to $6 million. Again, that's just my way of rationalizing how that was broken down. If you feel that's way off base, let me know. But after thinking about it, internalizing it, that's kind of the part that – or the answer that I've come to with that. And so I'm not upset whatsoever by having that price tag for Keyshawn Nixon. He's proven to be a valuable player. He's an important part of that locker room as well.
Oh, actually, I not only do I completely agree with you in your breakdown of that, I'd actually take it a step further in the fact that if you had a kick returner signed to a 1 year, $3 million deal, and a slot corner, maybe it's a number four corner, maybe it's your nickel guy, maybe it's your five, signed to a 1 year, $3 million deal. Maybe that's fine, but now you have two roster spots taken up for both of those people. Having one guy who can be your primary kick returner, who can be your punt returner if you want him to be, at least at worst, right? Like your number four or number five corner at worst, and potentially your number three corner. Also help out on teams, meaning if you want him to, like, let's say he does find himself out of the corner rotation as like a core guy, he's going to be on kick coverage. He's going to probably be a gunner. Like, he's going to be on a variety of teams, not to mention kick returner and potentially punt returner, maybe a jammer on the outside if you need him to do that. Oh, by the way, they also used him a play on offense last year. And had it not been for the fact that they have like 1,000 playmakers that need playing time on offense already, he can give you that value. And to take up one of your 48 man roster spots on game days, to have that versatility where you literally can probably put him on any team, meaning you can get him on offense, defense, special teams, kick return, punt gunner, whatever you need him to be, he can be out there. That is a ton of value in one spot. And as you go through games and you have injuries, as you go through a season and have a ton of injuries, just having that piece who you can use in a variety of different ways. Not only, again, do I take it as a $3 million for a kick returner, $3 million for a corner, adding all of that into one player, there is so much value on game day for that.
Yeah, really well said.
All right. A couple other things before we get you out of here. Really quick, again, we are in the past as people are listening to this, so maybe Green Bay has signed all of these players already. But is there a player that is still on the market that is really like just catching your eye and being like, man, if they could just add this one more guy, it would be just the cherry on the sundae?
Yeah, I jotted down a couple. I think Kevin Zeitler, and I know he's a name that's been mentioned on Twitter, but for the reasons mentioned, that offensive line depths, but particularly along the interior, he's been routinely one of the more pass blocking efficient guards in the NFL last couple seasons. Pro Football Focus projects that his contract will be 2 years, $7.5 million per year. So a little bit on the, you know, maybe on the heavier side for what the Green Bay Packers may be interested in. Over the cap has the Packers with $24.5 million in current cap space. So there is some wiggle room, but always the caveat to remember, they still have to sign the draft class, which PFF projects about $13.5 million. So that leaves them with 11. They have to assemble the practice squad. They want reserves for maybe some in-season spending, game day elevations from the practice squad. So all that $24 million, unfortunately, isn't going to go towards other free agents, but just bolstering that interior offensive line depth, again, gives you more flexibility going into the draft as well. You don't have to take a guard at any specific point. if you make that signing. And then Jerome Baker, linebacker, he's projected same 2 years, $7.5 million by Pro Football Focus. There's obvious connection that he has now with new Packers linebacker coach, Anthony Campanile, who was in Miami. The two worked together during their time there. Baker had two interceptions, held opponents to 7.9 yards per catch. And just being able to bring in a veteran presence like a Jerome Baker, I feel like the real or one of the benefits of that, again, frees you up in the draft, but just gives you more flexibility with Quay Walker. You know, you don't have to fit Quay Walker into a specific spot. And that isn't Jeff Hafley's intention by any means. He said during his introductory press conference on where's Quay Walker going to play, wherever he's in the position to make the most plays possible. So if you can bring in someone who you can lock into one of those specific linebacker roles, again, just gives you some added flexibility in what you do with Quay Walker.
Yeah, those both make a ton of sense. For me, it's Julian Blackman. We talked about the versatility with Xavier McKinney being able to play either of those safety roles. I think Julian Blackman gives you a lot of that as well, but his primary is probably more that box safety. I think he'd be a perfect tag team partner. You talked about, you know, Xavier McKinney's tackling ability. I think one of the next people on that list when it came to, you know, missed tackle percentage, Blackman also only missed 7 tackles a season ago with a 7.4% missed tackle rate. Can you even imagine Green Bay actually having two really good, strong tackling safeties in the back end of their secondary? I don't think I've ever necessarily seen it in my lifetime. You're probably going back to, you know, Leroy Butler and Eugene Robinson or something like that. It's been a hot second. So having those two team together at this point where the safety market is at, I'm not sure he's going to still get a premium deal. We saw Jordan Fuller go pretty on the cheap side. Cameron Curl didn't go for all that much. So if you could get him in, that would be kind of my remaining dream free agent signing. Paul, amazing, amazing stuff as always. Any final thoughts on a crazy week that was, or any other, you know, random thoughts spewing through your head before we get out of here?
No, we've hit on all the big stuff, and I appreciate you having me, Andy. This was a ton of fun.
Yeah, always is. Make sure to go follow all of his work. Obviously, we know Packers Wire, the YouTube channel, Paul, @Paul_Brettel. Anything else you're working on or anything else you want to plug?
Nope, just head over to Packers Wire. We're pumping out content right now.
They do a tremendous job. Brennan with the draft stuff, Paul and Zach with all the articles. It is a must go to site every single day for Packer fans. So make sure to check it out. Of course, you can find the Pack a Day podcast 365 days a year. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. But for Paul and I, that's going to do it today. Until next time. And as always, go Pack, go.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.